Our father Jacob and his family have returned to the land of Israel, land of Canaan, and he just wants to rest a little. Let's take it easy. Get enough of the challenges and the difficulty, but that's not to be. There's the anger of Yosef. Yosef's angry or frustrated with his brothers, and he conveys those messages to his father, and the result is that there's acrimonious relationships in the family. Yosef is disdained and hated, and then he comes with dreams when he's 17 years old. He has dreams of grandeur, and he has visions of him becoming a monarch and everybody bowing to him. Needless to say, this does not go over well. Yaakov is very, very pleased, and he's waiting for amazing things from his favorite son, but the rest of the brothers are very jealous. The next scene opens, chapter 37, verse 12. Sheni, second reading. The brothers went to pasture the sheep of their father in Shechem. This is a very meaningful statement. There's a lot going on here. First of all, if you look inside your Chumash, you'll see that the word S has dots. Last week we had dots over the kiss. Now we have dots over the word S, which means the. What are you de-emphasizing when you de-emphasize the? The thing is, it's lirais es tzayin. They went to pasture the sheep. Rashi says, nakud al es. There's dots there. Shalei holchu al lirais es atzman. They really went to pasture themselves, so to speak. They weren't so worried about the sheep. They wanted to get away from Yosef. They wanted to get away from seeing their father lavish endless attention on Yosef. They wanted a little freedom. They wanted a little respite from the acrimony that had marked their family life. So they went away. Ostensibly, it was a business trip. Practically, it was a vacation. And they went to Shechem. Why did they go to Shechem? What was the point of going to Shechem? What was the emphasis of going to Shechem? So the Radak tells us, they went to Shechem to show the people, the locals, we are not afraid of you. We know, we massacred the city of Shechem. They're out to get us. And we're just like comfortable, we'll take our sheep in your face. Right in your face. We'll go right back to Shechem, where we did what we did, and nobody's going to touch us. They're like gutsy guys. Gutsy thing to do. And that's why the Dafka went to Shechem. So what happens? Well, what happens is, Vayomer Yisrael lo Yosef. Yisrael says to Yosef, Halo yachecha royim b'Shechem. Your brothers, they're pastoring in Shechem. Locho ve'eshlochacha aleichem. Go. I'm going to send you to them. I'm sending you on a mission. And Yosef said, Hineni. A very revealing verse. Yosef knew that his brothers did not like him. He knew that the chances are he would not get a warm reception. He knew they might even try to harm him. But if Yaakov sent him, no questions. Whatever you say, Dad. As Rashi says, Hineni, Lashon Anova Vizrizos. This is a language of humility. It's a syntax of alacrity, swiftly responding. Nizdareis lemitzvah soviv. He responded immediately to the instructions of his father. Afal pi shehoyedeya, even though he knew very well bi'echov, sheseinim say that they hated him. Nonetheless, he was going. Now, didn't Yaakov Avinu know that they hated him? Didn't Yaakov Avinu know that they might try to harm him? Well, first of all, probably no. He couldn't imagine that they would try to harm him. And the issue here was, Yaakov was afraid that the brothers would go to Shechem. He knew they would go to Shechem. He knew them. They were gutsy. They were like, stick it in your face. And he was worried about them. And he actually had a very bad premonition, a minor prophecy, which was not wrong. The Hittites were coming to get revenge. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef, tell them to come home now. It's dangerous. Tzadikim know to trust their instincts. Something's not right. They should come home. This is what the Hadar Zakenim says in the name of the Ibn Ezra. And the truth is that the brothers also had pretty high, the spiritual acuity, and they were also kind of clairvoyant. They also sensed that something's going to happen. So they actually left Shechem without Yaakov telling them. They left Shechem themselves, as we're going to see. But Yosef was sent by his father. Because of this exact reason. The Targum Yenison and the Medrash Lekach Tev allude in a similar way. That's where really the basis of the Hadar Zkenim is. That basically, L'chav Ashalechecha Alecha, the mission to them was one of trying to save them. All right, so Yosef goes. The question is, didn't Yaakov know that maybe Yosef would be in danger? Number one, he said he's a shliach mitzvah. He's going to do a mitzvah, and shluchim mitzvah in nizakim. Shluchim mitzvah can't, nothing can happen to them. Number two, after the fiasco, the debacle of Yaakov's being left alone to wrestle with the angel, and if you remember, we learned last Tuesday that this whole idea that they didn't escort Yaakov, left him alone, was something that their brothers felt guilty for. So Yaakov was extra careful about it. And therefore he escorted Yosef throughout the whole gorge. As we're soon going to see, there's a gorge over here. Yaakov himself escorts Yosef. And on the way he talks to him the halacha of Egla Arufa, of what happens when somebody is sent without being escorted. And he's escorting him. Which is why, of course, Yosef will be sending wagons to his father to remind him, I didn't forget about the last conversation we had. I'm still mindful of the Torah we learned. But that's why they talked about it. And also, Yaakov said, the brothers are in danger. Whether anything will happen to Yosef is a doubt. Whether something will happen to the brothers is certain. So we have this idea, Safek and Vaday, for sure. And in question, you always follow the Vaday. You always follow what's certain. So what's certain is certain, and what's certain is they're in danger. And we got to make sure that they're safe. So he sends Yosef down. By Yomer Lo, he says to him, Lech Re'ina Eshleim Achecha. Go and see the peace of your brothers. Veshleim Hatzayin, see how the sheep are doing. Vahashiveni Dover. You don't have to stay there. I know it's not comfortable for you. I get that there's like a little bit of disunity in the family. But just, you know, give regards. Tell them I'm thinking about them. Like Radak would tell you, make sure they go away from Shechem. And then you can just come home. And the Pasuk goes on to say, Vayishlachehu me'emek Chevron. He was sent from the valley of Chevron, from the deep valley of Chevron, Vayavoy Shechema. And he comes to Shechem. Okay. Emek Chevron? The valley of Chevron? How many of you have been to Chevron? You've been to Chevron? Not yet. Chevron is not in a valley. When you drive to Chevron, you see you're going through many hills. These are the Judean hills. It says Rashi, V'haloi Chevron Bahar. Chevron is actually in the mountains. Rashi was never in Chevron. How did he know? Well, very simple. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, V'ayalu v'negev. He went up in the Negev. Went up in the Negev is talking about Kolev. And they went up. So they were climbing mountains. There was an elevation. The topography goes up. V'yovei ad Chevron. So they went up and they came to Chevron. So Chevron's in the hills. So then what's the pshat? What does it mean? That v'yishlochehu me'emek Chevron. He sent them out from the valley of Chevron. It's not really the valley. It's in a hill. Elo. So rather, this is how you have to understand it. Our sages expounded this verse and said, "May eitzel amuka shaleisei tzaddik." This is from the idea, the advice, the words, the vision of that tzaddik. That tzaddik is Avraham, akover bechevrein. L'kayim ha'shenema. What does it mean in eitzel? That means in here we're now going to see the beginning of the fulfillment of that which was told to Avraham Avinu. L'kayim ha'shenema l'Avraham, to fulfill what was told to Avraham. Bein ha'besodim, between the parts. Kiger yizaracham. But your children will be strangers. So therefore, you read this verse and it sounds to you like Yosef is going on some kind of crazy kamikaze mission and who knows what's going to be the end. And you have anxiety and you want to know why he's being sent. So the Torah tells you it's not even because of what Yaakov thinks. It's not just because the brothers are in danger in Shechem. And Yaakov, you know, wants to make sure that they're safe. Nah. What's really going on here is something much deeper than meets the eye. And so it is in our lives. You never know why something happens, how something happens. There's always much, much deeper than what we are able to see. And here, it's from the depth of Chevron, from the deep idea of Chevron. Ramban explains this in a more literal, seemingly more literal fashion, although obviously it came from a literal because Rashi would have said it. But he says, the Torah is trying to tell you, is conveying to you the distance here. And why do we have to know about the distance? Because he says there's two things that have to be understood. Number one, how much the brothers disdained Yosef. They disdained him so much they went far away. Let's go far away, they said. As long as you don't have to see that guy. Number one. Number two, it tells you about Yosef's devotion. He knew he was going far away. But if his father sent him, he asked no questions. No problem. If that's what I have to do, then that's what I'll do. That's the story. And so, Yosef sends out, and he's going. He's going. Why is he not afraid? Why is he not afraid of his brothers? The Zohar says that Yosef was certain that the fear that his brothers had and respect they had for his father would prevent them from doing anything ridiculous. He knew that they were. But he said it can be. Yeah, I'm going, especially I have a shlichus, I'm going, my father sent me, no harm will be coming. So Yosef is going because with certitude that he's a shliach, he's a messenger of his father, and they won't do anything to him. And he's heading out to Shechem. And the Pasuk says, Vayava Shechem, comes to Shechem. And this is very meaningful. That teaches us as much teaching that's conveyed in the words Shechem. Says Rashi, Shechem, Mokoim Muchan Lupuronus. This is a bad location. This is a location that is susceptible to difficulty, to challenges, to all kinds of debacles and disasters. Not a good place. Sham Kilkulu Ashvatim. This is where the Shvatim experienced a tremendous downfall, a moral deprivation in the heinous act of selling Yosef. Sham Inu as Dina. This is where Dina was raped and violated. Sham Nischalka Malchus Beis David. This is where the Jewish people divided, where they broke away from the Davidic house, and there was southern Israel, Judea, and northern Israel, the kingdom of Malchus Yisrael. And Shechem was the place that it happened. How do we know this? Shenemar, as it's written, Vayelech Rechavam Shechema. Rechavam went to Shechem. So Rechavam is the grandson of David HaMelech, and he came to be coronated in Shechem. And in Shechem, many of the tribes seceded from the union. They separated from Eretz Yisrael, and they created their own malchus. They created their own kingdom, and they appointed their own monarch, whose name was Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat is not from the seed of David HaMelech. Okay, so Shechem is a bad place. So now our location is bad. And then, fascinating timing. Verse 15. Vayimtza'eyu ish, a man finds him. Vehine soya basada, he's wandering, like lost in the field. Vayishalehu ha'ish lemer, the man asks him, ma tevakesh, you're looking for something. What are you looking for? Walking around like, what happened? Now who is this ish, vayimtza'eyu ish? A man finds him and a man asks him. So the Ibn Ezra says, who is he? I don't know who he is. I have to know his name. 37 centuries ago, I don't know what his name is. Some guy found him. He was wandering around, and the guy asked, what are you doing? You never saw a person wandering and stop and ask, can I help you? The guy asked, can I help you? But the other Rishonim are not comfortable with that. So the Tosfos, in Hadar Zakenim, the Balei Tosfos say, that the Ish, this is Rifal HaMalach. It can't just be a person just happened to find him. The timing, perfect timing. He just happened to come to the field. Incidentally, which field did he come to? He came to the field that Yaakov bought. This is the field that he bought before the whole story of Dina. That's what Radak says. He says he figured, where would they go if they're going to go to Shechem? They're not thieves. They'll go to the land, which is rightfully theirs, which Yaakov paid. Me'ek Sita. He paid for it. So they went to Yaakov's field. So Yosef figured that that's where he went to go. So that's the field that he went to. Actually, doesn't say this, but that's what the Radak says. Sfarno says he was going here, there, hither, thither. He was going everywhere. Ramban says he looked for an area where there was pasture. He found the pasturing fields. There was lots of grazing grounds, and there was no sheep. So he's looking. How do we know that it's Malach Rifal? So the Balei HaTosfos say the word Ish, Aleph Yud Shin, is the same gematria as Rifal. Reish Fei Aleph Lamed. Okay. So we have the same gematria. And since we have the same gematria, it makes sense to say that it must be the same guy. It's 311 and 311. So that's what we're being told. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ish ze Gavriel. This is the Malach Gabriel, the Malach of Gevura. Shenemar, how do we know? Forget gematria, Rashi says, because we have a pasuk that says in Daniel, the Ha'ish Gavriel. So when it talks about a person, it's Moshe, it says Va'ish Moshe. But when it talks about Malachim, and it says Va'ish, Ish is Gavriel. Very strange. Why wouldn't it be Rafal? I mean, the guy's trying to help Yosef. Isn't Gavriel the destructive Malach? So Yosef asked this guy, I'm looking for my brothers, Hagidu Ali. Tell me, please, Ephahim Royim, where are they pastoring? Do you know where they are? And the Malach says, Vayemru Ha'ish Nasu Mizeh. They have left here. They have left. I heard them saying they were going to Dotan. And so Yosef goes after his brothers, and he finds them in a place called Dotan. And Rashi goes on to tell us that Nasu Mizeh does not mean just they left this place. The Malach is telling him they left the building. They're no longer, you're looking for your brothers, they're not looking for you. You look at them as a brother, you want to help them, they have no good intentions for you. They're looking, they left. You're looking for brothers, they have left that behind in the dust. They don't see you as a brother anymore. So the Malach essentially is warning, he's warning Yosef, danger ahead. You know, it's like a flashing red light. Danger, danger, danger. Don't go. You don't want to do this. As Rashi says, Hisiu atzma min ha'achva. They have twisted, turned themselves far away from brotherhood. And they went to Doseina. And here Rashi says it's not just a place. It's an actual, it's a state of mind. Levakesh nichli dosos. They went to sit and discuss the legalities. They actually came up with a legal equation that allowed them to get rid of Yosef. They were convinced that he should be eliminated, and they sat down and figured this out. They said, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to be right. It's going to be legal. It's going to be okay. That's what they did. Of course, according to the literal level, if you pshut ish mikra, it is a makim, it is a plain makim. A mikra yitzim de pshut, they did go to Dotan, but that's what it is. And the rest of the story is Yosef comes, and the brothers make this terrible decision to first throw him in a pit, and later on to harm him. Years ago, I was in Israel, and we had our tour guide, a very interesting guy, a guy who fought in 67, maybe even a fought in 56, he was an older person. So he told me that he once saw a group of shepherds, Arab shepherds with sheep, nomads, and they were in a place, there's a place called Dotan, in Israel, there's a place called Dotan. And he said to them, where are you from? And they said, we're from Hebron. And he said, so why are you here? It's so far away. He says, no, this is the way we do the grazing. This is the way we do the grazing. We go to Shechem, they go to Nablus, and then from there we go to Dotan. In other words, they're still following the same route. Amazing. He said, it was like a lightning bolt moment for him. Okay, so let's understand the deeper message of both these things. First, what does it mean Shechem is a bad place? Why is Shechem a bad place? Shechem is a very good place also. Lots of good things happened. And why does Rashi choose Gavriel HaMalach? Why not Rafal HaMalach? Why not say it was no Malach? What's the point? So, page Kuf Pei Dalet in your Biurim book, Simen Yud Beis, Rashi told us that Shechem is Mokem Mukhel Paronius. That's a bad place. That's only trouble goes down in Shechem. So the Rebbe asks, how can you say that Shechem is a place which is susceptible for a city of horrors? Bad things are going to happen there. Had I been told this, Am Yisrael, in the history of the Jewish people, there were many positive things that happened in Shechem. For example, it was in Shechem that Avraham Avinu received a prophecy in which he was told that he's going to have progeny. It was there he was given a prophecy that they would inherit the land of Israel, called Besudas Hazera, Besudas Eretz Yisrael. In the days of Yehoshua, it was in the city of Shechem that the Jewish people accepted upon themselves the Torah by oath. That's a good thing. So what do you mean it's a bad location? Whatever. Some bad things happened there, and good things happened there. It was in Mokem Mukhel Paranis. It's like Something bad is going to happen because this is a bad location. Says who? Some bad things, some good things. Location doesn't force a situation. We make the decisions. You want to tell me a real estate, location, location, fine. That's where location makes a difference. But location is going to influence the outcome where things should be good or things should be bad? It doesn't make sense. Besides the fact that, as said, many good things happen. And anyway, the order that Rashi brings is so strange. It's like backwards. First of all, he talks about the thing that didn't happen yet. Then he goes back to something that did happen already. Then he goes hundreds of years ahead to what happens later when they divide from Malchus Beis David. It's not even in order. Here's where the Shvatim sell him. Here's where Dina was violated, past tense. Here's where something bad's going to happen in hundreds of years from now. Yesh Leimar. Therefore, because we have to say, Rashi's intention is not to tell you that Shechem is a mokim muchen leparonius, generally. So the rule, Shechem is a bad place. No. It's a mokim muchen leparonius for Yosef. This is not a good place for Yosef. Why not for Yosef? Earlier, Rashi enumerates three mistakes that Yosef made. Three terrible mistakes. And as a result, that caused things to happen to Yosef. One of the examples is Yosef Sipur La'aviv, Yosef went and told his father, Sha'echav Eichlan Ever Menachai, that his brothers are eating Ever Menachai, which is not kosher, it's not kosher even for a Gentile. So, this is a terrible issue, you gotta do something about it. What Rashi said, what happens as a result of that slander? What happens is that they, when they sold Yosef, they slaughtered a goat. They ripped his coat and they dipped it in the blood of the goat. So you see that there's a connection, a corollary between what Yosef did and what happened to Yosef. By the way, what did Yosef say? Why was he saying that there were over Eivim and Achai? So the halacha is, if you shecht an animal, a cow, and you find a uber, you find the baby cow inside, it doesn't need shechita. It's called ben pekua. And Yosef didn't know this halacha. Or didn't see that it was shechted, so he thought they actually didn't kill the animal properly and ate it.
Wouldn't you just tear his limb and you could eat it?
You really could, yeah. We don't do that. Midrabanan, we shecht him anyway. But and there's a Zohar says they created a synthetic animal, man made like a golem, which today they're actually doing. They're growing strips of beef apparently, man made. But then they actually created a golem and didn't eat shechita, something like that. But Yosef interpreted it wrong. He interpreted it wrong, and he was so angry about it, he went to tell his father about it. So something happened in corollary. And then when it comes to, Yosef said that they're behaving licentiously. Why? Because they were doing business with locals. And Yosef felt they shouldn't be doing business with women. He felt that was beneath them. That's not modest. He went and told his father, they're doing immodest things. That's really, that was Yosef's, like, he was being an extremist. So what happened? What happened? Nebuch, Ashes Petifar, the desperate housewife we'll learn about in a few days, Petifar, she raised her eyes up to Yosef to seduce him. The last thing was, they said that they're mistreating their brothers, the Bnei Ashifchis, the children of Bila and Zilpa. They called them Avodim, which also wasn't exactly as Yosef said it. What happened? Because he said they called them Avodim, Yosef was sold as an Eved. This is what we read previously in Rashi, that the three things that Yosef slandered his brothers with, those three things resulted in things happening to Yosef. So there's a corollary there. So Rashi says, Rashi's then saying, the Rebbe suggests, that the three paranias, these three bad things, are also in corollary with Yosef and Shechem. What happened? Sham kilkulu ha-shvatim. That's where the shvatim messed up. And this is the idea of an act of murder. Shvichas damim. Sham inu es dina, the idea of gili arayus. Sham nischalko malchus beis David, this is the idea of the zilzal of demeaning malchus beis David, which is like calling your brother an eved. In other words, Yosef said they killed an animal and they ate it, blood was spilt. Well, Yosef's blood was, so to speak, spilt. Yosef said they behave licentiously. Dina, unfortunately, was mistreated and violated. Yosef said that there was a lack of respect amongst the family, the brothers. That's where the Shvatim ended up disrespecting each other and dividing. In other words, the Rebbe is suggesting that this Rashi follows along the lines of the previous Rashi, and therefore, location, location, location means that for Yosef, bad things happened here. Chillingly, Yosef is buried in Shechem, and Yosef's grave was violated and destroyed by the local population, who is occupying Shechem and calling it Nablus, and you see a makim muchan leporanius for Yosef. So let's go on to now the story with Gavriel. Who is the Ish? Gavriel's the Ish. Why is Gavriel the Ish? The Mefarshim actually asked the Zechavim, the Maral. So why did Rashi take it out of its literal meaning? Its literal meaning doesn't say Ish. Doesn't even say Malach. It doesn't say that. So when it says Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, is a discussion if it's Malachim Mamash or not. Fine, Rashi says Malachim, it's actual Malachim. Here it doesn't say a Malach. It says Ish. It says an Ish, so it's an Ish. And why Gavriel? What's up with Gavriel? It's a big chiddush. What is a Malach? What's a Malach? Yesh letaretz v'pashtos. Vayimtza eyu. He found him. But was he looking for him? It doesn't say he encountered him. He bumped into him. He was looking for Yosef. He just happened to be there? No, that's not just happened to be there. He was looking. He came there exactly then to find Yosef. So clearly, this could not be an encounter. He cannot follow the opinion of Ibn Ezra, who says that Ish means Ish, when the word before it is Vayimtza'eyu, that he found him. Because syntactically, the word, it works for Ish, it doesn't work for Vayimtza'eyu. If it's Vayivgesheyu, but Vayimtza'eyu means he found him. Okay, so if we say that this, somebody went and found him, that it's too fortuitous. It's not a thing of he happened to be there at the right place in the right time, and he happened to see him wandering, and he happened to ask him, oh, by the way, are you looking for something? What's going on? It's not reasonable. And the fact that the Torah says Vayimtza Eyu tells us it's not just the right time and the right place. Oh, so it is a Malach. Though if it's a Malach, what was the point of the Malach coming there? And the answer is that the Malach came to test Yosef. He came to see, would he continue to be so willing to listen to his father? The Rebbe once explained that Midas HaChesed, out of kindness, so a person looks at somebody and he's melamed zchus. He says, okay, this person, he's a wonderful person. He's not so wonderful. Yeah, he is wonderful. If I would be in that position, I would probably do much worse. And anyway, under the circumstances, it's what's done is actually remarkable and laudable. Melamed zchus. Melamed zchus means you always look at it, find a positive way to look at it. That's the chesed approach. What's the gevura approach? It's like chesed is nice and gevura is bad. That's what people think. It's a big mistake. You have chesed of kedusha, you have gevura of kedusha. What's gevura? So when a person is doing something and you come along and say, it's okay, leave him alone. Under the circumstances, he did the best he could. What's going to be the result of that? When you give a trophy for mediocrity, what is the result of that? Mediocrity. That's how you breed mediocrity. If you don't look at somebody and say, hey, this guy can do much better than that. You don't look at him judgmentally. And you don't look at him and say, hey, you're not measuring up. You say, it's good what you're doing. Everything's good. If it's not so good, it's any good. It's good anyway. So if it's not so good, it's good anyway. So that's the idea of chesed. From chesed, you don't grow. But gevura, from gevura, you do grow. So the approach of gevura is, I take a look at this person, I size him up, I judge the situation, and I figure, how can I make him do better? Over here, Yosef is being tested. Yosef is being, we want to see, is he really, does he have the metal, the courage? Is he going to keep doing the right thing? And the Malach alludes to the idea, you're looking for your brothers, they left brotherhood behind. You're looking to find Shleim Achicha. They went Levakesh Nichli Dosois. They went to try to find a way to knock you down. What will you do? Yosef passed the test. That's not a Rafal job. That's a Gavriel job. Rafal would come and save Yosef. He's not saving him. The Malach doesn't accomplish anything. The only thing the Malach here accomplishes is that Yosef is tested, and therefore Yosef therefore comes out, so to speak, looking better in the end. Because that's the idea of a test. Will we have the fortitude? Will we be able to come forward? And that's what Rashi says. The word Vayimtza'eyu necessitates a commentary. This cannot be fortuitous or by chance. He found him. What did he find him for? Ask yourself, what is going on here? He found him and what? He found him. He talked to him. He warned him. And Yosef continued. What was the point? Clearly, there had to be some reason that the Hashem sent the Malach. The Malach had to find him. And the answer then is, this is all about Linasa, says Yosef. Will he continue to follow out his father's instructions? Will he continue out Lidresh, Vishloim, Echav, even when he finds out that they are not so friendly and maybe the polar opposite of that? And nonetheless, Yosef continues, and that becomes the greatness of Yosef, that he continues to do exactly what his father said. And in the end, history shows us how this not only was not damaging, but it's through this whole event that Yosef's dreams were fulfilled. He became the Melech, the king of his brothers, and sets in motion the process of the germination of a family that gets planted in the soil of Mitzrayim and emerges later as it grows out as a great nation who Hashem selects and gives us a Torah to. And that all comes from a test.
What you gotta do?
Keep on trucking.